Once more, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly God, as your word is preached and proclaimed and heard and worked and lived out, let it be your word. Let us be prophets this day, those who speak with you and those who speak for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do first the message to Thyatira. This is Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. Let us hear the word of God. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like flames of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. Beware. I'm throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her I am throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doing, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned from the call of the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my work to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule them with an iron rod as when clay pots are shattered. Even as I also receive authority from my Father, to the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, raise your hand if you've ever heard of or read part of the Message translation of the Bible. I figured most of us at least were familiar with it. The Message translation was done by a Presbyterian pastor and scholar, Eugene Peterson. He took the best and oldest manuscripts in their original Greek and Hebrew languages and translated the Bible into modern Western American English. The Message is a translation, true. It's also a commentary, and it's just full of sermons. And today we're going to let old Peterson help us through our letter to Thyatira. Let's begin with chapter 2, verse 19. This is Peterson's translation. "I see everything you're doing for me. Impressive. Very impressive. The love and faith and service and persistence. Yes, very impressive. And you get better day by day." It's as if the one who's giving the prophecy is peeking through our back doors right now. We have a great church. We're a terrific group of Christians. This is God's house. We are the family of faith, living it out every day. Impressive, very impressive. We get better every day. Continue in verse 20. "But why do you let that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, mislead my dear servants into cross-denying, self-indulging religion? I gave her a chance to change her ways, but she has no intention of giving up her career in the phony God business. I'm about to lay her low along with her partners as they play their sex and religion games. Then every church will know that appearances don't impress me, says the Lord." The definition of a prophet from the time of Moses till today is literally one who speaks with God and one who speaks for God. And there's a woman in Thyatira, a person in Thyatira, who claimed that God told her what to say, and she claims to be God's spokesperson, but she's a phony baloney. In the God business, she's a nothing. It's great that Peterson, when he describes her and he says God, when he writes the word God, doesn't capitalize it in this instance. It's the only place in his translation he doesn't capitalize God, because this is not God Almighty, who we just sang to and about. This is a God of her own making. And he calls her Jezebel, because she is leading people into sin and self-indulgence, just as that horrible, heinous, powerful enemy of the Lord did way back in the people's history. You remember Jezebel. She was the evil queen, and she even at some point temporarily defeated the mightiest of all prophets, the great Elijah. She had him on the run. She was evil. She saw an acre of land a gentleman had, and she wanted it for herself, so she had him stoned to death. Just that simple. She led people away from Yahweh, the Lord God, by worshiping Baal, and kept worshiping and led people astray. And there's a woman, there's a person in Thyatira now who's just of her ilk, who is leading people away from the Lord God, claiming to use the Lord God's voice. She is using Christ's authority to lead the little ones of Christ to destruction. But remember Christ's words in Matthew 18. If any of you put a stumbling block before my little ones, the ones who believe in me, it would be better if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea. When people claim to speak for God and they speak the word of evil, the word of sin, use your common sense. Use that bedrock of faith that you have. Don't let them lead you astray. Test everything you hear. And the test is really simple. Is it consistent with the life, death, teaching, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is what I'm hearing make sense in light of Christ? Does this message lead me and those who I love to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? Does this message lead us to loving our neighbor as ourselves and to go out to all the world making disciples? This is our test, my beloved covenanters. Does the message we hear today, does the message we hear coming at us build bridges with each other, to our community, and to the world, to the life-giving water of Jesus Christ? If not, have nothing, verses 24 and 25, have nothing to do with this outrage. Scorn those who are playing around with the devil. I hope you noted my sermon title today. It was on purpose. It was shocking on purpose. Intolerance. And it's a selected word. When we see and hear phonies parading evil and spite and hatred in the name of God, be intolerant. We're not to put up for a second with it. Scorn, another big harsh word. Scorn the teaching that sounds so right at first blush, but are sinful and leading us away from God. Scorn them. Test it, always test it. Does this teaching, does this way of life build up the body of Christ? Does this teaching build up our community? Does this teaching go out to all the world? If not, don't tolerate it. And we can do it. Verse 25, be assured, the prophecy says with the Lord's voice, be assured, I'll not make life any harder for you than it already is. Hold on to the truth you have until I get there. Here's your reward. Here's the reward I have for every conqueror, everyone who keeps at it, everyone who refuses to give up. You'll rule the nations following your shepherd king. This is the gift that the Father has given me, says the Lord. And I pass it along to you, and with it the morning star, everlasting life. Jesus says, hold on to the way, the truth, and the life, and you will be conquerors. What a word. What a great word. If you hate sin and evil and name-calling and muckraking and all the stuff we're seeing on TV these days in the political season, if you hate that and turn away from it, You are more than conquerors through him who loves you. What a great word. Overcome, vanquish, gain mastery over. Stick close to Christ, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will continue to be more than conquerors through him who loves us. This is the guarantee of the good life. I said good life, not the easy life, but the good life in Christ with our brothers and sisters in faith right here and right now and in the morning star, everlasting life. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words of the Spirit blowing through the churches, which leads us down the road to Sardis. Down the road in Sardis, the message is lean and clean and very clear. Wake up. Wake up. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Once more, we hear the word of God. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name for being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. For I have not found your works perfect in my sight. Remember then what you received and heard and obey it and repent. If you don't wake up, I'll come to you like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. And yet, you have still a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Through the true prophet. Now we're speaking. Now we got the true prophet speaking to us. John of Patmos. Jesus says to the church, I know you. I know you really, really well. I know you inside out. I know your faith. I know your enthusiasm. I know your zeal. I know your spicy, zesty faith. You have it. But you're falling asleep on me. You're falling asleep. You're too busy laying there thinking about who you aren't. You lie around thinking about what we don't have. You get sleepy and you're drowsy and you dream. And you dream big dreams, but be careful. If you dream too long, you'll get stuck there. The prophecy says, up on your feet. Up on your feet. I know this is corny, but stand up. Take a big, deep breath. Bring it in through your nose. Out through your mouth. The cleansing breath. Each of us breathe. There's life in us, isn't there? There's life. The breath of life is in each of us. Sit down. From the outside looking in, the prophecy tells the church in Sardis. From the outside looking in, things seem pretty desperate. But it's not. Think of the gift you have. Think of the gift you have, Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen. The good news. You hear it with your ears. Celebrate it in your sanctuary. Celebrate it in worship. Live it out in the community and the world. Don't focus on want. Focus on plenty. If we focus on scarcity, we will be defeated. I'm not ever taking another shower. That's quite a segue, isn't it? I'm never taking another shower. By coincidence this morning, my shampoo ran out, and the bar of soap evaporated, whatever it is that you guys can tell me better. It's all gone. I got nothing left. How can I take a shower? That's focusing on my scarcity, what I don't have. All I got to do, Mom will attest, all I got to do is open the pantry and Kim's got 10 bottles of shampoo there and 20 boxes of soap. That's focusing on the plenty. Again, it's corny, but I hope you get the point. God is a God of plenty. God is a God of abundance. The earth is the Lord and all that is in it. And you, O woman, you, O man, you have been given dominion over this earth and the plenty that God has given us. It is ours to nurture, to care for, to take care of, to grow and to lead each other in our neighborhood and into the world with the life-giving, refreshing, life-growing water of Jesus Christ, who is the living water, the fountain. Okay, stand up again. And shake. Don't shake another hand. Shake. Shake it off. That's it. Shake it off. Have a seat. Wake up. Wake up. Get rid of that sleep. If we pull the covers back over our heads and go to sleep and we stay oblivious to God, we lose sight of God, and he promises, I'll return when you least expect it and break into life, your life, like a thief in the night. Boy, and then our minds jump, don't they? They jump to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just jump there. Paul writes, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let's keep awake and put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, as indeed you are doing. We build each other up by focusing on the plenty, on what God has given us. We build each other up by recognizing we are wearing the full armor of faith, the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of salvation. Christ promises we are more than conquerors. We are dressed like conquerors. We have our armor on. Faith, hope, love, salvation. And this is Christ's promise. This is the covenant, the new covenant the Lord God makes with covenant. Conquerors march in victory parade. Their names are indelible in the book of life. And I'll lead them and present them by name to my Father and to the angels. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words of the Spirit blowing through the churches. I just love our bizarro Revelation study. Rather than looking at Revelation and seeing God through the things are tough. We should be scared. Other than looking, we don't look at God like that. We don't look at God and say, what are our present troubles going to do? And who's going to be left behind? What are our present troubles going to do in the future? That's not what this very pastoral book is all about. Reading Revelation clean and mean and lean, we get a great Vince Lombardi, Newt Rockne, Pat Summitt, Half Pint Pep Talk. This is a pastoral book. This is a life-giving book. We are reminded over and over and over there is plenty in Jesus Christ. We have life in Christ. We got to wake up, shake ourselves off, and remember Christ's eternal promise. I am with you always until the end of the age. Put on Christ. Walk with each other. Walk with him who loves us. Think and live into the abundant life he's given us. Drink from the life-giving fountain of the living water of Jesus Christ. Then we live into the prophecy of Isaiah 40. This is my free-form translation of Isaiah 40. Listen, God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. God energizes those who get tired. When we're ready to drop off, God gives us fresh strength. Those who walk with God spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and not grow weary. They walk with God eternally and never get tired out or need to go back to bed. God promises a good life, not an easy life, but a good life in Christ with our brothers and sisters in faith right here, right now, and then in the morning star, life everlasting. When her brother Mark wants it, he's humongous, he's huge. When he wants our attention, he'll slam on the table with this big paw, boom, 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 listen, listen. And, you know, we do take notice. So I'm pounding on this table, and it's not real loud because I have a little hand, but listen, listen. To the words of Jesus Christ, to the true prophet, John of Patmos, the beloved disciple. Listen to his words. This is one who speaks with God, now speaking for God. You are conquerors, and you march in the victory parade. Your names are in the book of life, and I will lead you and present you to my Father and to his angels. Are your ears awake? Listen to the wind words. This is Christ's promise right now to you and to me. This is Christ's eternal, forever, blessed assurance. Let those who have ears, let them hear.